paid
260 euros for a pair of Crocs, man.
Those shoes pretty much broke my foot.
It's only going downhill from here.
What up, guys? This is Josh.
And this is Fobs. And this is the Kickback Pod.
And we are back, the Kickback Pod, back once again for yet another episode, the final episode of 2024. Thank you to each one of you who have stayed with us throughout the year. Really, really appreciate you listening to the pod and continuing to be fans of the Kickback Pod. And also shout out to every one of you that has liked already our podcast on Spotify and Apple Music. If you have even left a comment, shout out to each and every one of you guys. Fobs, my man, how you doing?
What up, what up, what up? Can only echo what you've just said. Super happy. To still be doing this, super happy that, you know, we're getting a lot of support and that people appreciate the time we put into this podcast. But most of all, super happy to be back chatting sneakers with my man, JD Kicks 6.
And it is one of our favorite episodes of the year, of course, when we count down or kind of just review the year that was in the world of sneakers. I'm sure you've seen a lot of content creators, a lot of media publications post their lists of sneakers of the year. And of course, we got a list of our own. And yeah, we're excited to run through that list for you guys here today. And also just give you some thoughts on, you know, overall what we felt about the year 2024 in this world of sneakers. And also if we both have anything we're excited about next year. So yeah, lots to get into in this episode. First of all, though, Merry Christmas, belated Merry Christmas to you. I know you've been away with the family. You've probably been to back in your hometown. I was just kind of chilling out in Berlin. I actually had some family this time in Berlin. My brother moved to Berlin earlier this year, so I hosted Christmas dinner for the first time. And I have to give a big shout out to my parents, because I realized how insanely difficult it is to host a Christmas dinner, even though we just hosted like five or six people. I spent the entire day cooking, man, from like 10 o'clock in the morning till like 6 p.m. I was just cooking. And I made me think about all the Christmas dinners my parents used to host with like 15, 20 people, and like how they managed to just kind of effortlessly do that. Like, shout out to them. Like, shout out to them for my childhood hosting all those Christmas dinners, because, oh my God, it's way more difficult than I ever expected.
Bro, I mean, lots and lots of work going on in the background, obviously, lots of prep. I think prep is the most important part of hosting a successful dinner, making sure you have everything that you need so there's no like last minute runs to the stores, because obviously, especially in Germany, all the stores are closed, right? So you need to be like, be very proactive with your shopping lists and all that kind of stuff. But this makes me wonder, what did you make? Was it a roast? Was
yeah, it something I did. More traditional? So I made, well, there were like two of the guests were vegan. So what I did was I made a nut roast, a vegan nut roast from scratch. I also made a vegan mushroom gravy to go along with it. And
what's
also
a nut roast? Like, I don't know what that is.
So it's like, okay, it's a lot of different nuts basically put together with some vegetables, some breadcrumbs, and put in the oven for basically like an hour and a half or so. And it's
like,
got
like, you shape it into like a
so, like so a, you first kind of like cook it in a pan with like all of the, like you kind of like cook the nuts and like the vegetables and all together in a pan, and then you just like take whatever you cooked and like put it in like a baking tray, and it just kind of like hardens in the oven into like a nice shape after about an hour or so. And okay. I put, you know, all the Christmas flavors, you know, like the nutmeg, the cinnamon, and all of that. So it was good. Honestly, I kind of impressed myself, not gonna lie. I gotta like definitely like I'm like dusting my shoulders off right now. I was happy with how it turned out. I'm going to blame it on the show The Bear. I've gotten so into cooking over the last like month or so. And I'm kind of like obsessed with cooking, to the point where my wife actually got me a cookbook as a Christmas present. I'm already started making a few recipes. So yeah, man, I'm definitely on a cooking tip right now. How was your Christmas with the fam?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, it was very chaotic in a good way, you know, when family comes together under one house for a week, under one roof, and everybody's kind of running around. You've got four generations in that house. You've got my grandma, my mom and her brother, then me, my brother and my wife, and then obviously my son. So it's cool to see, man, like the different generations kind of falling into different kinds of roles and like doing different things, and then how the different generations interact with one another. Obviously now Christmas has become more for me like about watching and seeing how my son, you know, enjoys it, and he loves being around family, and obviously as any kid does, he loves getting presents and opening them and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that was like a different kind of perspective for me this year, or like in the last couple of years. But in terms of food, man, it was great. In Germany you usually do like a big meal on the 24th, 25th, and 26th, at least in my family we do. So that was like 3 days in a row of big feasting. I think like my mom and my grandma, they live in the same house. They probably have leftovers like for like a family of four for a whole week.
Nice.
Which is also like really nice, right? Because then you don't have to worry about cooking afterwards, and you just kind of piece together a meal based on like what's left over and stuff like that. No, but it was fun. It was fun. And I have to echo what you said. We ended up getting a lot of like kitchen stuff as well. Like I got a new cutting board. I got like a potato masher, like just all the these little things that you maybe don't really buy yourself or and you kind of need or should upgrade on at some point. So definitely feeling more mature these last few Christmases.
Yeah, that was like the theme of Christmas this year, man. The fact that like I still remember being the kid that opened presents, you know, and that's what I looked forward to every year, to now being the host. It was like a real like coming of age moment for me this year. Like definitely, and like instead of getting, you know, cool sneakers and sweaters, I'm getting cookbooks now. So things have changed, man. Things have changed. But like, let's get into, you know, what we've been wearing over the last month. Well, before we actually get into that, I just wanted to quickly remind you guys that starting next year, as we talked about in the last pod, we will be moving to more of like a monthly approach to this show. So we'll be doing monthly episodes. They'll be centered around more bigger topics, and we're gonna be calling it Seasons of the Kickback Pod. So I don't know if we're gonna say next year is season one, or I don't know what should it be, like season one, two, three. I don't even know how many years we've been doing this at this point, but
I think this is going into year four, I believe.
Yeah, right? Okay, so should we call it season four? Next year is season four then.
Yeah, we can do season four. Let's do that.
Okay, yeah. So we'll be moving to more of a monthly episode. So look out for our January drop. But let's get into this month's episode, talking about the sneakers of the year. First, we'll get into what we've been wearing lately. So I'll quickly start, because it's mainly just one shoe that I've been wearing a lot, and it was sent to me by Oakley. So shout out to them. I was expecting them to send me their brand new model, but they didn't. They actually sent me a boot, which was perfect for the winter time, and they sent me the Oakley Factory Team Suede Edge boot, which I've honestly just been wearing pretty much nonstop over the last like several weeks, because it's just a perfect winter shoe. Like it's made out of really good materials, got that really hairy suede, and it's like very visibly hairy, which is not something I've usually seen before. Great materials. It's got the ortholite insole as well, so it's just been like a very comfortable shoe that I've been wearing to every single Christmas market, and I've been going to a lot of Christmas markets over the last couple of weeks. And yeah, that's pretty much what's been on my feet. If you guys were interested in buying this shoe, I've noticed that they're on sale at quite a few stores right now for pretty much half price. You can get them for around like $120 or so, which I think for a very high quality boot like this, it's a pretty decent price. So that's what I've been wearing. What about you, Fobs?
I've been wearing my Kiko A6 Gel Kayano 28s quite a lot, just because I love the pop of color, the pink and the green on them. It's not exactly Christmassy, but the green obviously, and the like the pink is a little bit like red. And then as the weather has been so great, and down where I celebrated Christmas, we actually had quite a lot of snow. I've actually been wearing my New Balance 990 V6s. just the regular gray colorway, because they have become my beaters, kind of. And I think we talked about this last episode as well, where we said that they're just so classic, so comfortable, such an easy shoe to slip on, that they just sit at my door basically whenever I want to put them on. So going more for comfort, probably not the best winter shoes, to be honest with you, like, because you do get cold if you stand around a lot. But yeah, man, that's been me. What about pickups? Have you picked up anything recently?
Yeah, so I got a very unexpected W on the recent Travis Scott Jordan 1 Low release. Shout out to Soulbox. So that was my first W on a Travis Scott Jordan 1 Low since the Fragments from 2019, I believe. So it's been a good 5 years since the last time I got a Travis Scott shoe in my size for retail. So I was pretty happy about that. And I was actually genuinely happy about this W because it's a colorway I actually really like. It's a very low-key colorway. It's one of those Travis Scott shoes, and I talked about this in my video. It's a shoe that, you know, it's a subtle flex. It's a low-key flex. It's not one of those like, hey, look at me, I'm wearing Travis Scott's on my feet. You know, like it's like if you wear this shoe, it's like you're saying, I still know my shit. Like, I still know about sneaker culture. I still appreciate sneaker culture, but it's not like my whole personality, you know? Like, I don't want all of you to keep staring at my feet and talking about it. It's much more of like, I can wear this to the office every day, and one day, you know, Janice in accounting is gonna like take a quick glance and be like, oh shit, those aren't Vans. You got that shit on, man. Damn. You know, it's like, it's one of those type of shoes, man. I love it. So, and you can switch up the laces on there too. You can put like some cream laces, some pink laces to give it more of like a pop of color if you want. So, and yeah, I mean, I quite like that one. Also picked up the Cortez Huarache? I can never say this name properly.
Huarache. Yeah.
The Huaraches. So I got the Huarache mid in the black color. So the one that came in the pony hair, so I ordered that from the Cortez site. It just arrived this morning as we're recording. And yeah, I'm pretty happy with this one too, because I'm just a fan of like pony hair shoes in general, and black pony hair especially. It looks sick. It's one of those shoes that honestly, like when I was wearing it, I was like kind of wearing it with different pants. I kept thinking how from afar it doesn't really look like anything too special. Like it kind of looks like you're wearing just like a basic black shoe. It's one of those shoes like you got to see up close to notice all of the, you know, Cortez branding and the pony hair details. You can't really even see the pony hair if you're just kind of looking at the shoe from afar. So
yeah,
that's so I guess like that's kind of one downside about it, but really nice shoe nonetheless. And one of my favorite recent pickups, very unexpected, has been from North Face. It's the North Face Glencliff Mule. And if you've ever worn if you ever worn a Nuptse jacket, like any kind of those puffer jackets from North Face, think of exactly that jacket, but as a sneaker instead. That's what this is. It's like a puffer jacket on your feet. And the Glencliff Mule is different from the previous versions of this shoe, which were made for indoor purposes only. The Glencliff Mule is basically the puffer on top, and it has a Vibram midsole, so it's very durable for outdoor use as well. And I just think it looks very stylish, actually, like surprisingly very stylish as like a winter shoe. It's very easy to just slip on and off. They're very comfortable as well. And yeah, this has been like one of my favorite like winter shoe pickups in recent memory. So definitely you guys should check it out. It's like not even that expensive. I think it's like $120 retail, which is not too bad. And then finally, my last pickup, this wasn't for me. This was a Christmas gift for my brother. He is not someone who's really into sneakers, I'll be honest. Like, he mainly just wears this pair of like Salomon ACS Pro Advance. Like, he wears that every single day for like the last several months. But there was one shoe that he saw me do a video of, and he's like, yo, I need that. Like, can you get me that right now? And that was the 1906L, the loafers. Like, he just thought that the sneaker and loafer combination was great. So I got him the Magnet colorway, the latest colorway, as a Christmas gift in his size, and he was very happy about it. He's been wearing them already. So yeah, those were my pickups. Quite a few pickups, I would say, in the month of December, which is normally a pretty heavy month for sneaker releases. I see you got a lot as well. So run us through what you've been picking up.
Yeah, man, I actually I went a little bit crazy. Some of them arrived in December, but I bought them in November during Black Friday. I had the I got the New Balance 860 V2s in pink. They were, I believe, either from very early 2024 or late 2023 even, but they were on discount at a lot of places over Black Friday, so I had to pull the trigger on those. Super comfortable shoe. Very much my style, that like 2000s big hole mesh running shoe. So love that. Then I actually got the Ama Manier Air Jordan 4s, but they arrived like really late. I bought them at Ama Manier and it took ages for them to ship as per usual. The funny thing there is they arrived all good, like, you know, and then 3 or 4 weeks later, I got a letter saying that I owed customs charges. And I was like, wait a second. Usually, like when you order through Ama Manier, like the shipping is so expensive because all the customs charges are already paid, right? But now I had to pay on top. So they were very expensive.
You must have paid like what, like another 50 at least?
75, yeah.
Yikes. Yeah, man. That's
yeah. It was not cool, but whatever. I like the shoes and they're here now, so very, very happy with that. I also picked up a couple of others, but don't want to do too much spoilering. I'll just say that we're going to talk about these later. I also got sent a couple of pairs of Oakley shoes. Actually, I got the Oakley Flesh Sandal in this like white leather kind of pistachio colorway. I posted on my story today, actually quite nice. And then the new sneaker, the Ibex, which is kind of this like skating, hiking, hybrid look-alike shoe. It kind of reminds me of the 2000 skate shoes because it's like really chunky.
Yeah.
Got that in like this really nice like burnt orange, reddish colorway. Haven't put them on yet, but I'm feeling like maybe today's the day. So after we finish recording, if I head out, I'm going to pull them on.
Those Ibex, they give me like serious Osiris vibes.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Osiris D3 kind of in that direction. They've also got like a very similar webbing on the side. Yeah, it's a cool shoe. Definitely very, very cool shoe.
Yeah, no, those are some nice pickups, man. So I knew you were going to get those Ama Manier Jordan 4s just because... You love the Jordan 4s, and that colorway is just very like you. Okay, I figure you're 100% gonna get that.
It's a great shoe.
Yeah, man. All right, so let's we're gonna get into our big topic here, which is just kind of giving you a recap or like a review of how the year has been so far in terms of our favorite sneakers. But first, just some overall comments on what 2024 has been like. I thought it was a pretty different year. Like, as someone who's been making sneaker content now for like over 5 years, I felt like this year there was no sneaker that was a clear standout as sneaker of the year. There was a lot of like sneakers that could have been maybe like a top 10 or like a top 5, but it's like kind of debatable. I noticed that everyone's sneaker list for this year looked completely different, which maybe is a good thing. But there was no clear standouts. Like, there was not much hype also in the sneaker community. There was no sneakers that were reselling for too much. We saw resale prices, you know, drop across the board. Of course, like, you know, your Travis Scott shoes are still reselling quite a lot, but I mean, it's not like resale prices are a determining factor in what sneaker of the year is, but there was definitely some, you know, a lot of hype I thought missing in the sneaker world this year. And that's why my list looks incredibly like diverse, very different. I did like a whole top 20 on my YouTube, and it doesn't look like any kind of list I've done on previous years. And I think that's just kind of been the general sense this year that maybe it wasn't like, I wouldn't say it was like the greatest year in sneakers, like if I'm being honest. Let me hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I think just to follow up on that, I think 2024 continued much in the same vein as 2023. There were no real standout trends. There was no one trend that dominated, as you know, maybe skate or dunks had dominated in the years before. There's no one shoe that dominated. The closest we got was a Samba, probably, and even that was like not as huge as Nike SB Dunks. And then there was no brand for me that dominated. So a lot has been said about it. I think it's kind of great that you can walk into a lot of stores and buy, in quotation marks, hyped releases and collaborations and limited releases. Obviously, there are still the shoes that sell out immediately, where you know you have to join 20 raffles to maybe get one pair if you're super lucky. But in general, it's a lot more, I would say, democratic, a lot easier, a lot fairer to get shoes nowadays.
Yeah.
I would say that we are at the kind of the bottom of the hype cycle. There will obviously be another cycle. Who knows when that is? Maybe in a year, maybe in 6 months, maybe in 2 to 3 years, where the hype is crazy again for a different type of shoe, for a different type of brand. But yeah, it's been a very difficult year to put this list together. Obviously, this list is very subjective, right? You pick your favorite shoes. I picked my favorite shoes. We're not saying that these are the best five shoes ever this year, but rather, you know, these are the shoes that we resonated with the most. And I think we will be seeing a lot of different lists. I mean, we already have been seeing a lot of different lists on all the logs, but when people start posting their top fives, or if you guys want to share your top fives with us in the comments, feel free. I have a feeling that, you know, because it's so varied this year or the last 2 years, that there's something for everyone, which is really nice to see.
Yeah, and I would also say that it's actually been a really great year to be a sneakerhead. Like you were saying, you know, just being able to get any shoe you want this year, really, and even better because of, let's call it, you know, economic factors, high inflation or whatever, you've been able to get some of the sneakers you really want for like very discounted prices as well, like some really, really good sneakers for discounts. I think one major trend that I don't think has been talked about enough that I haven't seen really written anywhere has been how I feel like in the sneaker world now, on sale is the new retail, pretty much. Like people are just waiting the first couple of weeks because we just know that everything is pretty much going to go on sale at some point. So 30% off now is almost the new retail. At least that's how I've been thinking about sneakers a lot these days, like especially like general releases. There's just, I don't think there's much of a point to be paying retail price nowadays. So it's actually a pretty great time to be a sneakerhead. It's a lot cheaper to be a sneakerhead, and you don't have to deal with bots. You don't have to deal with like the headaches of raffles and all that, just because it's just been quite easy to get shoes. So from that aspect, it's been generally quite positive. But yeah, we got some pretty interesting, I would say we have a pretty interesting top five here. Do you want to start, or should I start with the number five?
Let's do it. I can kick it off. So my fifth best sneaker of 2024 is an Air Jordan, and it is the Nigel Sylvester Nike Air Jordan 4 RM Grandma's Driveway. So that all black colorway with the red mini swoosh and the white Bike Air branding on the heel. Just a great shoe. I picked this up a few months ago, and I believe you actually let me know that they were on sale somewhere.
You were looking for this pair, and I saw that your size like restocked, I think, on Foot District, and I sent you a link. I'm like, bro, it's, your size is available.
True. And then I did a straight mega cop and got these on the quickness, took them to Tokyo, wore them quite a lot this year. And yeah, man, I've just been super happy with how they fit. You know, I like that like low top silhouette. I know that a lot of people think it's weird and not really an Air Jordan 4, but I kind of like it. I think it's a nice little takedown of the OG. I like the Bike Air branding as well. I think that's like a clever little nod to Nigel Sylvester's BMX career roots, what he's known for. And the red mini swoosh on the toe box, I love that, man, because otherwise it would have been too boring. It would have been just an all black shoe, but right. That like contrasting red, just, I don't know, it just does something to me, man. So yeah, love the shoe, been wearing it a lot. It's been one of my most worn. And speaking of winter and inclement weather, there's, if you want to be wearing like a sneaker, like a Jordan or whatever, there's actually no better pair to wear because they're so robust. The Nubuck upper, the all black colorway, just, yeah, a great shoe in general, man.
Yeah, see, this shoe is exactly what I was talking about earlier about how it's been a great year to be a sneakerhead, because I think also it's a great shoe. It's a great collab. It's one of the most like thoughtful collabs from this year, how Nigel designed the shoe just based off of memories of him and his grandma's house. The first colorway was based off of her fence, and the one that I think you bought was based off of her driveway, and the images of the driveway and the fence all also on the box and on the paper. I just thought that was a really, really nice collab. And this was one of those shoes that it was just really easy to grab them. Like they were sitting on a lot of sites, and there was really no resale on them. At least this colorway, the grandma's driveway colorway, there was pretty much no resale on them. So it was such a nice shoe to be able to just get for retail without making a big fuss, without having to fight with resellers or anything like that. So this is a perfect example of what I was talking about. At number five, I have the Kids of Immigrants Air Max Sunder collab, and specifically I personally like the orangish yellow colorway over the purple one. That's the one that released more widely. The purple one was a Kids of Immigrants exclusive. So I thought Nike, I know like their stock has been destroyed and they had a pretty bad year financially, but like release wise, I didn't think it was like a terrible year for Nike. I liked a lot of the retros that they put out, especially. And for me, the best retro sneaker or like the one I like the most, at least this year, has been the Sunder. I love a lot of the colorways they've put out. And this specific collab I thought was just excellent because to me, it's like what a collab should be. The shoe looked nothing like a regular Air Max Sunder. It's very recognizable as a collaborative shoe. It had those lines on it, which represent, you know, the latitude and longitudes of different cultures coming together. What I thought was really cool too is these pairs came with a commemorative calling card, which was really cool because it really was something I could relate with a lot. Like when my family first immigrated to Canada, my dad wasn't actually, he didn't immigrate with us. Like he came about a year later. And I just remember throughout that year, like at the time, like I would have to always go get these calling cards so that I would be able to call him and just like talk to him throughout that first year, which was quite difficult being in a new country without my dad. And so that kind of like, the whole Kids of Immigrants collab I thought was like definitely quite relatable to a lot of people, and really great execution, like great colorway. I like these a lot, and I actually managed to get a W on them on the sneakers app, but they still haven't arrived, so I haven't been able to see them in person. But yeah, that's what I had at number five.
Yeah, nice shoe. I mean, it got a lot of love on social media and all of the blogs, and I think rightly so, man. I think this shoe shows you, and you just spoke about it yourself, it resonated with you personally. You know, it kind of brought out a memory in you, and that's what I think, that's the great thing about sneakers or fashion or whatever anyone is into, right? When it strikes a chord with you through nostalgia or just through personal memories, that's when storytelling is at its best. And I think Kids of Immigrants did such a good job with this shoe, with the release, with the storytelling behind it, with all the hidden details packed into these shoes. Not to mention that the MX Sunders had an amazing year, I think, as for a bring back. They've had some really great general release colorways, some really nice collabs, some really nice like limited releases, such as that Nordic Regions one that was really, really nice. And yeah, I think just listening to you talk about the shoe, it shows that it means something to you. You're really happy to have got the shoe. I know you're going to be wearing it a lot. I'm going to be seeing it a lot on your feed or on my feed through you. So I'm super glad you picked this shoe because it's a really nice one.
Yeah, for sure, man. The colorway is a banger too. With rock those orange shoes with like some green cargos. I think that's how I'm going to rock mine.
Nice.
All right, number four, Fobs.
Let's go. So I got the Cecily Banson ASICS Gel Quantum 360s. A mouthful and a handful of these shoes. They are so comfortable. Like so comfortable. And let me preface this by saying that I actually don't like the Gel Quantum 360. I think it's too sporty looking, and I didn't really like the CP Company collaboration, and there were a couple of other collaborations on the same model that I wasn't really a fan of. But what Cecily Banson has done is she's taken the shoe and turned it into a sandal, right, with straps. And it kind of goes into that whole mule trend, that whole loafer trend, but also a little bit into the like the ballerina direction as well, because I know that on, at least in women's wear, ballet is really big right now across the board, especially in footwear, right? You got ballet flats are super in again. And so obviously this is a women's release, and I think that's why the sizes actually only went up to my size. I don't think they made them bigger than 42.5. I got the kind of like this like teal turquoise white pair, and super happy, man. Like the little flower details on the buttons of the straps, you've got flower details on the sole of the shoe through the translucent outsole. Just this really, really great shoe, super comfortable. It's more of a summer shoe, to be honest. Like I can wear them with white socks and long pants, but I think this shoe really pops when you wear it, in my opinion. I know I'm a little bit different there sometimes, but without socks and just like as a pair of sandals and with shorts in the summer, take them on, take them off, you know, like they can get wet, whatever. If you're at the lakes in Berlin or you go to the pool or whatever. So yeah, really looking forward to the weather getting better, because I probably won't wear these for a while, but they're still one of my favorite shoes of 2024.
Yeah, I gotta give huge respect to Cecily Banson on her year overall. Actually, this year with ASICS, some really good models. I actually really even like the Gel Terrain sneaker that she had with those different like flowers on it, like the brown colorway in particular. I thought was really sick. Yeah, and these pairs, man, these are very, very interesting, right? Like she completely remodeled the Gel Quantum 360, right? Like this is like, whoever thought to make this into a sandal? Like this is like, it looks literally nothing like the regular Quantum 360. So I'm glad you like these. I think you got probably the best colorway too. Yeah. It seemed, yeah, I mean, from what I can see, based on all the pictures online, I think white socks look really good with these, with this particular colorway. And yeah, I mean, that's how I would rock them. But I get what you're saying too, with some shorts, rock these like in the summertime, like going to the beach, you got a perfect pair.
Thanks, bro. Appreciate it. What about you, man? What do you have on your fourth place?
At number four, I have a shoe that a lot of like sneaker publications gave this the shoe of the year, and I thought it deserved to be on the list. I'm talking about the AE1. And we've talked about it so much on this pod before, about how like basketball sneakers, you know, they've just kind of, you know, let's say they haven't had a good few years. You know, there's not been any standout basketball sneakers that have come out. A common complaint with basketball sneakers is that they all kind of just look the same, you know, Nike, you know, we're pretty much talking about you when it comes to that. And there just hasn't been much excitement when it comes to basketball sneakers. And I feel like this shoe brought all of that excitement back. People were all talking about this shoe, the marketing, the branding behind this. Like the marketing not only was like a cool little throwback to the 90s, I just thought it fit so well with who the person is, like who the athlete is that was doing the campaign. Like the marketing went so perfectly with Anthony Edwards' personality. Like it felt like you were watching, you know, those 90s Nike commercials with Jordan, right? Like all those AE1 commercials. I just thought it was so cool. Like it was so well done, and it's crazy that Adidas managed to pretty much take Nike's like 90s playbook and come up with that whole campaign. And the shoe design, I thought too, like you can't possibly look at that shoe and say that, oh, it looks like every other basketball sneaker, because it doesn't. It just looks completely different with that honeycomb design. A lot of really sick colorways too. Like personally, I really like the All-Star one, the iridescent, like purple, maroon colorway I thought was pretty sick. And yeah, I mean, Anthony Edwards, like, he's definitely got the best basketball sneaker going right now. And it's pretty cool that such a, let's say, like, popular hyped sneaker, you could just literally walk into Foot Locker and buy it, right? Like, it's not like these were impossible to get. And I don't remember the last time we could really even say that, that one of the best sneakers of the year, you could literally just walk in Foot Locker and get it, no problem. So it was also very affordable, only 120 retail. Like, that's pretty good for a basketball sneaker as well. So I think Adidas just knocked this out of the park. I think it was one of the best releases this year.
Yeah, I think it's a really good pick. I didn't have it on my list because I don't have a pair myself. I only pick pairs that I have. And I think what you said about it really changing the paradigm of basketball sneakers in this day and age, right? Like, back in the day when you had Kobe's, KD's, LeBron's, that was like what everybody was wearing and everybody wanted and everybody was reselling in the US, like around the time when I was in college there. Those shoes dropped off hard when, like, runners came back, fashion sneakers came in, luxury sneakers, Balenciaga, Gucci, etc. And nobody's really gone back to wearing them casually. I think you do see the AE1 being worn casually more in the States than here, for example. In Europe, you probably see the Book 1 as well from Nike because it's relatively simple being worn casually. I know you've spoken about in the past where you think that it actually does work as a casual shoe. So maybe we're seeing a move from a design world towards that direction as well. I know it's hard to balance that, like, performance and lifestyle look and feel, especially with basketball shoes, because they serve a very, very specific purpose, right? They need to be, you need to be able to cut in them, you need to be able to jump in them, they need to protect your ankles, etc., etc. I've spoken to a lot of people as well about whether basketball shoes will make a lifestyle comeback. I am very strongly of the opinion that they will not. I don't think we'll ever be back at a time when it was like in the 2010s where people were wearing these shoes super casually, but I can see more and more people that maybe like that era picking up a pair of AE1s, for example, and wearing them. What I am very interested in is what the AE2 will look like, because that's coming up soon, right? At some point this season, they'll probably release the AE2, and that's going to be important, because that's like, okay, they've made a great shoe, they had a great campaign, what are they followed up with? Because as we know from Jordan, the second shoe was actually not great, didn't really hit. And he wanted to leave. And it was actually Tinker Hatfield and the Jordan 3 that convinced him to stay. So I don't want to compare Anthony Edwards' sneaker legacy with Jordan's sneaker legacy. But in the early days, Jordan and his Air Jordan wasn't Air Jordan. It wasn't Jordan brand, right? So, like, it was just a really good first shoe and an okay second shoe. And so let's see if there are similarities between AE and JB.
Just to go back to what you were saying, like, you were saying you don't think we'll ever go back to that era when people were just wearing basketball sneakers very casually. Yeah, I mean, I agree. Like, those days of, you know, wearing the LeBron South Beaches with, like, the pin roll denim, like, that I think it's over with. Like, it's not happening again. But I mean, like, wouldn't you say, like, retro Jordans are basketball shoes? Like, people still kind of rock those.
Yeah, but I mean, they're so retro that they're from a different age, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, like, wearing performance basketball shoes of the day and age.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Like, wearing LeBron 22s, wearing KD 19s or whatever, right? Because back in the day, you were wearing KD 4s, KD 5s, KD 6s. Kobe 8s, 9s, 10s, people were wearing, even they were wearing those, like, crazy Kobe Elite 9s or whatever they were.
Yeah.
And the LeBrons, when they were, like, really bulky, like the LeBron, what was it? I think it was like the 14, 15, around that time where they got really bulky and crazy. So I think there's a difference for me for, like, pure performance shoes that are being worn leisurely and retro performance shoes that are now purely lifestyle shoes.
Yeah, right? Yeah, no, I see what you mean. I think the closest that we have to something like that right now would be the latest, like the Fear of God Athletics 2, not the 1, the 2. I think that shoe to me has a lot of potential. I tested it out. It works really well as a lifestyle sneaker, and we're starting to see actual NBA players rocking that shoe on the court. So it seems like Adidas has managed to kind of make a breakthrough there, but Jerry Lorenzo said that the Fear of God 3 is going to be his ultimate vision coming to life. So let's wait on that one. But we digress a little bit. Let's go back to the list. So what do you have at number 3?
My number 3, coming to the top 3 now, is the SNS Adidas GT2 London, which I spoke about in our half-year episode. It is their green pair with like nice pink accents, but they're super light pink, so on pictures sometimes they look white, and it plays into the whole Samba low profile trend that, you know, has been so prevalent recently. But what I like about this shoe is, first of all, the material makeup. It's got a like ripstop nylon base upper, it's got leather overlays, it's got a bit of suede on the toe box. It's got leather on the back as well, on the heel tab. So for me, this is like a lot of different materials coming together, a really nice color combination. S&S is a great retailer with some really, really nice projects and partnerships. And the best thing about this is it's not a Samba, it's a GT2, right? So it's a different, obviously it looks very, very similar, pretty much the same, just like a Handball, a Hamburg, a Spezial, they're all pretty much the same shoe, just with slight variations. And but I do like that it's not a Samba, right? So that, you know, I'm not wearing Samba like everybody else, but I'm wearing something that's very similar but looks nice and is not a Samba. So yeah, that is why that shoe made it into my top 3.
I know they had a London one and a Berlin one, and then the third one is like a maroon yellow color. Like, what city was that one representing?
Was it Stockholm or was it one of their other cities? I'm actually not sure. That's a good question.
Okay. Yeah, because I out of the three, definitely the one you said was the best colorway, the green one. I didn't get why the Berlin one, which I kind of wanted until I saw the colorway, because the colorway didn't make much sense to me. Like, why is a Berlin shoe, you know, blue and yellow? Like, it looked like something, it looked like it should have been the Stockholm shoe, because it reminded me of like IKEA. I didn't get the Berlin colorway there, but I definitely thought the one you had was the dopest colorway for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I'm super happy that I got that. I mean, shout out again, Sneakers and Stuff, for seeding me that pair, for sending it over. Very, very great gift that has gotten a lot of wear and tear since then. So appreciate it big time. And you, what about your third?
Oh, at number 3, definitely had to have this shoe on the list, the Hidden New York Gel NYC, the best ASICS shoe to drop this year, in my opinion. I loved everything about this. You know, I'm obviously a huge fan of Hidden New York, and shout out to, I don't know who the guy is who's running Hidden New York, but he has, you know, he's watched my videos, he's commented on my videos, and he even seeded me the latest hidden pair, the Gel Venture 6. Oh, actually, I didn't even talk about that in my latest pickups. But yeah, shout out to Hidden. But yeah, I mean, Hidden, that particular pair, the Gel NYC, I just thought was just such a beautiful looking shoe. The colorway, I loved the white and green colorway. And of course, all the details, right? Like the pixelated logo. Everything was kind of inspired by graphic design software like Adobe Illustrator. And yeah, I mean, so many hidden details. Like, I feel like every time you wear that shoe, you'll notice something different about it. And it's just a shoe that, I did say this when I talked about when I did my end of year video. I don't think I've had another shoe this year that has gotten more compliments than this one. Like, every time I've worn it, someone has looked at it and said something nice about it, pretty much. So that to me, that's a telling sign for why a sneaker should be on your end of year list. And yeah, I mean, I got nothing bad to say. Huge fan, Hidden New York, Gel NYC. Perfect model choice as well. Hidden New York, and then you got the Gel NYC. You got that like New York connection there. So yeah, great pair.
Yes. I think Hidden is another one of those collaborators that, I mean, it's so impressive what they've done, just coming out of like a mood board to like a legit collaborator. And I think this Gel NYC is probably their best so far. I did like the Solomons and some of the other previous ASICS ones, but the GelLens NYC, I think, is just it's a model that lends itself really well to being collaborated on for color blocking, and because there's such a contrast between the sole and the upper, because it's kind of retro upper with a more performance sole. So yeah, super glad that you put those on your list. And that, like, you know how like green has been like this trending color for so long?
Yeah.
I think Hidden has obviously made a really good living off of that, and I think
Hidden might be the cause for that.
Yeah, I mean, at least in our circles, right? I think like green has been very popular in interior design also recently and stuff like that, and maybe Hidden pulled that and brought it a little bit into the sneaker world. But I'm glad, because it's a great color, and I think earthy tones always really do well. Green obviously being connected to nature through plants and stuff like that, so definitely a nice pick. Moving into the top two, my second favorite sneaker of the year is the we're going to stick with ASICS, but we're going to jump from Hidden to King of New York, Ronnie Feig, and his ASICS Gel Cayano 12.1, the Knicks colorway. I was super happy to get those. I got those through the Kith app, and I mean, being a New York Knicks fan, I love the, like, I mean, it's not an official collaboration, but just the nod towards the team, and they're doing well this year. I mean, I think they're just under 500. No, they're actually well over 500.
No, they're like almost, I think they're pretty much top of the East besides Boston.
Yeah. Sorry. They're like top three or something like that. And they're doing really well. Four of their five starters have hit 40 points, which is, I think, the first time that has happened in a very long time. Just a fun team to be watching and to kind of follow on social media. Karl Anthony Towns being an absolute beast. So happy with that trade. And the Gel Cayano 12.1 is dope. I mean, it's got the Gel Cayano 12 upper with, I think, a Nimbus 17 sole unit. So it's another one of those hybrid shoes that ASICS does so well. And Ronnie Feig, like, he goes through the archives, he finds his favorite pairs, he puts them together, he makes it work. And I think that you can't really dispute that Ronnie Feig is just, for the last, what is it, like, Kith opened in 2011, so for the past 13, 14, 15 years, I mean, even before that at David Z, right, when he was working there and doing some collaborations, bro, he's been at the top of the game for over a decade, for over 10 years, and it's just so inspiring to see him and his team do so well and continue to put out shoes that are so relevant for this day and age. It's not like they're doing their thing over and over, even though it's not in anymore. They adapt, they do cool things, but they also stay true to what Kith is, what Ronnie Feig is, who he is as a collaborator, what the brands are that he works with, and stuff like that. So definitely, I mean, these could have been on my number one, but a late Q4 release knocked them off the pedestal. We'll get to that in a little bit. But yeah, man, what do you think?
And also, speaking of Ronnie Feig, if I had to give an award for collaborator of the year, I think it's Kith, like, easily. Like, Kith clears everyone by a mile this year, in my opinion. Like, if you just look at all the work they did this year with Adidas, they did those really nice Birkenstocks too, the braided ones. And then, like, their ASICS collabs, I mean, like, there wasn't a single miss on the ASICS collabs. Oh, and of course, like, the New Balance, like those 1906s that they had were so nice, the 990 V4s as well. But speaking of the ASICS collabs, the one you picked up, obviously amazing. For me, it was that Marvel collab. All of those pairs, I mean, I'm not even really into Marvel all that much, but just the execution of that collab was amazing. Like, the pairs looked beautiful. They looked like pairs that weren't just for comic book fans. Like, I feel like anyone could have pulled those off. Anyone would have thought those are really nice looking shoes. I mean, Ronnie, super, super, super strong year for sure. And I'm glad you put him on this list, because I didn't have him in my top five, even though if I was making like a top 20, there'd be quite a few Kith and Ronnie pairs on there for sure. For my number two, honestly, like, this shoe, I'm just so happy it even exists. Like, I absolutely love this shoe. I don't think there were too many 10 out of 10s this year, but for me, this was a 10. This is the Comme des Garçons Foamposite, the Cat Eyes colorway. I've talked about how the CDG foams have kind of always been grails for me, the white and black colorway. But when they first released, they were, you know, $500, and I couldn't afford them, to be honest, at the time. They were just a bit out of my price range. I couldn't fathom spending that much on a shoe. And the unthinkable happened, right? So two things happened. First of all, I couldn't believe this shoe was actually coming back. And on top of that, come back in such a dope colorway, like combining the gray, the white, and the black into this like marble looking sneaker. Like, the looks were just incredible to me. And on top of that, they reduced the price to $280 from $500. Like, I can't remember another time we've seen deflation in the sneaker world. This is like one of the only times, you know, like it's
true.
It's kind of crazy. Like, they dropped the price by like almost 50%. Like, it was so crazy. And being able to get this for retail from Dover Street Market the day it dropped, was very happy with that as well. And yeah, man, this shoe, oh my God, I just love it. Like, it's like a highlight of the year for me to be able to get this one, because it's like actually getting like a grail sneaker that looks even better than the grails you had. Like, for me, this is like the best colorway of the CDG foams. And yeah, I mean, any other year, I feel like this would be number one, but like, there is another sneaker that I have as number one, which just kind of, you know, was a good culmination of a lot of overall trends going on this year, which we'll get into. But first, I want to hear, what was your number one sneaker of the year?
Oof, drum roll. So I teased it a little bit. I alluded to it quite a lot. It is the Nike Air Max Sunder in that beautiful maroon to blue gradient colorway. I don't even know what the official name is. Do you?
It's the Burgundy Crush Baltic Blue.
Okay. I mean, yeah, it's so beautiful. Those of you who don't know what it is, definitely go and Google that. It goes from this like maroon, dark red, brown into this really nice teal, blue turquoise color at the toe. And man, I mean, the Air Max Sunder, this is my first Air Max Sunder. It's a great shoe. It's so comfortable.
Yes, it is very comfortable.
I love the zip, man. I love keeping it zipped or like unzipping it and wearing it open. I got so many compliments when I wore this shoe, and like from mostly also from people who are not really into sneakers, right?
Yeah, dude, so, it's such a gorgeous shoe, man. I'm so glad you have it number one.
It's so good. And as we said before in this episode and on previous episodes, the Air Max Sunder comeback has been great. Long may it continue. I'd love to see some more colorways in 2025. And this shoe, I mean, it ticks all the boxes. Comfort, looks. It's actually a really good winter shoe too, because it's got like neoprene upper. It's got reflective detailing on it as well. Obviously, this one isn't Gore-Tex, but there are Gore-Tex versions too, which like those would be the ultimate winter sneaker for me. I don't know what else to say except for that I really love this shoe. I got it for a discount on Black Friday, which makes it even sweeter. But I think even if I paid full price for it, I probably would have put it as my top sneaker of the year. And the funny thing is, I had actually already bought two pairs of shoes on Black Friday or Cyber Monday. It was the 860 V2s that I talked about in my latest pickups, and it was the Cicely Banson, right? So I got both of those on a discount. And then I was lying in my bed, I think it was Monday evening, right? So Cyber Monday evening. And then you, Josh, you texted me and you were like, yo, this shoe is on discount, man. And I was like, please don't. Don't do this to me. And then I looked and I was like, oh man, I have to do it. I have to. So it's pretty much thanks to you that this is top of my list, because I probably would have bought it eventually, but maybe I would have waited a little bit longer until it was on discount elsewhere. But you really like, you were like, yo, it's here. It's discounted already. I'm like, oh man, I just bought two pairs of shoes already. But yes, that is my favorite shoe of the year, the Nike Air Max Sunder in that beautiful gradient colorway.
You know, that shoe hasn't gone on discount yet anywhere else, except for that like one day it was on discount on Black Friday on Cyber Monday. So you managed to like get the best possible deal for that shoe.
All thanks to you, man. I appreciate that.
Man, like, dude, this shoe is such a good choice for number one, because it is unbelievably beautiful shoe. I still just remember, you know, being at I forgot the name of that store. Casina. I was in Casina. Sorry. I was at Comme des Garçons in Seoul, and they just had this huge sneaker wall. And I just remember seeing this shoe for the first time on that wall. And that shoe immediately got all my attention. It was like none of the other shoes even existed, because that shoe was just such a beautiful looking shoe. Like, wow, what a colorway, right? And it just looks perfect on the Sunder. Like this gradient type of color just looks so good on that model. And yeah, man, definitely what a sick shoe. And people really, really sleeping on it, in my opinion. Like it's a great general release. I'm waiting for those to go on sale somewhere too, so I can scoop them. But yeah, so my number one shoe for this year, debatable whether or not to even call it a sneaker, but it's the Junya Watanabe New Balance 1906L. And I just love this shoe, man. Like every time I just slip them on, because they're just so easy to put on. They're just loafers, and they're the most comfortable loafers I've ever worn. I haven't when I'm wearing them, I'm just always kind of like staring at my feet, because I'm just like, damn, these are just so nice. And it's a sneaker, but it looks like something dressier. And I thought it was like a good kind of like symbol of 2024 overall, because we've seen a lot of sneakerheads, we've seen the fashion community, especially like the ones on like Instagram and TikTok, you know, kind of move away from sneakers towards the more dressier options this year. And I just thought New Balance, they managed to just capitalize on a trend in a super unexpected way. I didn't expect them to go this hard, giving us like a 1906 loafer, you know. And it wasn't just like those previous types of sneaker loafer attempts we've seen from different brands, where they just kind of glue the top from a dress shoe and the sole from a sneaker, and it just kind of looks like two shoes put together. This one doesn't look like that, you know. Like the upper is fully made out of different elements of the 1906. Like it very clearly looks like a well combined, like really really cohesive, like really well put together shoe. And this particular model, the Junya Watanabe one, was my favorite by far because of the leather upper. I think it just looks way better than the mesh upper. And I got it in the black colorway. And yeah, man, I know this is going to be even like maybe my most worn shoe in 2025, because it's a grown man shoe for sure. And that's I guess like more of my vibe these days. Like I like wearing, you know, sometimes a little bit more dressier options as well. And this pair is like a cheat code, you know. It's like you're wearing a dressy shoe, but it's actually a sneaker. But it's sick. Like it's a great pair. The only thing I didn't like about it was the retail price. I thought it was a bit high. I paid like $280 for it, so that was a bit much, if I'm being honest. But other than that, though, for me, it was the most memorable shoe of the year, so I'm going to give it my sneaker of the year.
Very nice. I had a very, very sneaky feeling that this would be your sneaker of the year as well, just because of how much we've talked about it over the last few months. And also, I've talked about this shoe with a lot of colleagues and friends outside of this podcast as well, and all of them have been really into it. Some of them put off by the high price tag, but others, you know, very, very intrigued by the shoe. Even people that are like not really that into sneakers or not into New Balance that much, they just kind of like that this has been a really good like version of that loafer sneaker, right? Because a lot of other places or a lot of brands have tried it in the past in their own way, and I would never say they failed, they've just did it differently. But this one, I think, really balances those two worlds very, very well, in my opinion. So definitely a nice pick. Before we move on to our short and sweet predictions for next year, let's go over the top five again, to give everyone a roundup. So fifth place for Josh was the Kids of Immigrants Air Max Sunder. For me, it was the Nigel Sylvester Nike Air Jordan 4 Grandma's Driveway. Number four for Josh was the Anthony Edwards Adidas 1. And for me, it was the Cicely Benson ASICS Gel Quantum 360. On number three for Josh, it was the Hidden New York Gel NYC. And for me, it was the SNS Adidas GT2 London. Number two for Josh was the CDG Foamposite Cat Eyes, the recent re-release, the new colorway. And for me, it was the Ronnie Feig A6 Gel Cayano 12.1 NYX colorway. And then on number one, it was the Junya Watanabe 1906 L. Man, tongue twister. We've been talking for quite a while. And for me, it was the Nike Air Max Sunder Gradient. I would say two very distinct lists, two very different lists, but two very personal lists. And a very, very solid, I won't say top 10, but like a very solid 10 sneakers on this list.
Yeah, for sure, man, for sure. Yeah, I think both these lists really reflect our personal tastes quite a lot. So that's how these lists should be. So, you know, before we're probably going to do, you know, like a bigger episode on like 2025, like predictions or something like that. But very quickly, like, is there one prediction you think we're going to see in 2025 in the sneaker world?
Well, I think the obvious one is that low profile sneakers like the Samba, the Gazelle and the Puma, Mostro and stuff like that, they will continue to, I don't want to say dominate, but like they will be very, very relevant also in the mainstream. Puma will have a strong year off the back of that. But my kind of under the radar prediction, hot take would be that I think Nike will start to bounce back towards Q4 2025. So it will take a while for Nike to get running again. New CEO, new strategy perhaps, which obviously with supply chain will take a while. But I think they will start to bounce back towards the end of next year, around the holiday period, which will set up a strong 2026. So this is almost a prediction for 2026, but maybe we can twist that and say that Nike will continue to struggle in 2025. But the 2026 might be the first year that we see that strong Nike back again. What about you, man?
Yeah, I think that's a very solid prediction in regards to Nike. The new CEO, he said all the right things so far, right? Like he's come in, he said, our brand has relied way too much on retros in the past few years. And also we are going forward, focus a lot more on athletes, more on performance, taking Nike back to its roots. So I think those are, you know, he is someone who's kind of been at Nike for like 20-30 years, so he seems to be the right guy for the job. So yeah, I also think Nike will definitely start to bounce back towards the end of the year. My prediction for 2025 is something, it's maybe a bit of a concerning trend, and it's more of like a take on sneaker marketing or sneaker brand marketing overall. We've started to notice that brands are starting to use AI quite a bit. Like we've seen these AI generated ads. One in particular is with Puma. Puma started to work with AI influencers. You can literally go on Instagram right now, search for, I believe the influencer's name is Layla Kadir. You can look her up. Like she's literally an AI. Like she's a Moroccan person who is rocking Puma gear, you know, like obviously like a very beautiful looking girl. And yeah, it's funny like seeing people in the comments saying, oh wow, Morocco's got the best looking girls or things like that. You know, it's kind of funny seeing those comments, but she's literally an AI. Like she's completely computer generated. And we're starting to see, you know, brands start to do that a lot more. And I don't know if this is like a good trend or not, because I think nowadays authenticity is more important than ever. But at the same time, it is very cost efficient, of course, to work with AI rather than, you know, hiring a whole bunch of teams to work on, you know, art direction, product direction, paying influencers, things like that. So brands, I think, will have to kind of find the in-between, like the best middle ground here. But yeah, that's one big trend I predict. Like there's going to be a lot of AI generated ads. And we'll see how the sneaker community reacts to that. So moving on to sneakers that we'll be releasing in the month of January that just caught our attention. There's not too many that have been announced, but I'll just run through three of them. First is a brand new model from Nike called the Air Max Muse. It seems like Nike is still sticking with their Y2K inspired sneakers as being their hottest sneakers of the moment right now, and they've developed a whole new model here, it seems, the Air Max Muse. Looking forward to seeing how that one feels on feet. Seems like the retail price will be quite low on those. And then on January the 11th, we'll be seeing the Jordan 3 Black Cats releasing. I know a lot of people in the States are definitely excited for this pair. An all black, I mean, there's not much to say here. It's just an all black Jordan 3. It does have the elephant print on it as well, but it's a bit hard to see it. But yeah, I mean, those will, I don't know if they'll sell out or not. Maybe they will. Maybe in the States they will. So yeah, those are coming out on Jan 11th. And on the 17th, we'll be getting this brand new Travis Scott model, which I believe is called the Travis Scott Zoom Field Jacks. Jacks with two X's, by the way. Interesting name. And interesting looking shoe. It kind of looks like someone combined a Zoom Spiridon with like a Huarache. It's got the same strap as a Huarache, but the base model kind of looks like the Spiridons, the Zoom Spiridons. So interesting model. I'm not sure about this original colorway. It's a bit plain in my opinion. And also, I'm just not even that sure about the model in general. Like, it's not showing me anything like innovative. I feel like I've seen the shoe before, even though I haven't really. But it's not like blowing my mind too much. But we'll see when that shoe finally releases. And those were it. That's it for January sneakers. Fobs actually had to leave early, so he's not gonna sign off. Dad duties, of course. Shout out to Fobs, and shout out to each and every one of you guys for listening into this episode and listening into another year of the Kickback Pod. As usual, I would love to say how much we appreciate each one of you guys listening in, and tune in to the next episode in 2025. I wish you guys all a great year. Happy New Year. And as we say in Germany, Guten Rutsch. We'll catch you in 2025, guys. Peace.